Hello, this is Rabbi Rob Dobberson, and welcome to this edition of Wrestling and Dreaming. In my opinion, today, Thursday, March 28th, should be a national holiday, because today is opening day of the baseball season. Now, I know there were a couple of games played in South Korea last week that are going to count in the regular season standings, but they really don't count in my mind. Today is opening day. And even though the prognostications for my beloved Boston Red Sox are not the best, to say the least, for this year, hope springs eternal. Everyone's in first place on opening day, and I'm ready for baseball. I've been a baseball fan throughout my life, and in 1991, I delivered a sermon on baseball, which was actually based upon an article that I wrote for Moment Magazine a couple of years before, which was intended to be a tribute, a eulogy in essence, to a hero of mine, a person I had come to respect tremendously. The sermon is about baseball, but it's really about Judaism. It is perhaps apocryphal, but it is said that Solomon Schechter, the founder of the conservative movement, once told rabbinical students at the Jewish Theological Seminary, "Gentlemen, in order to be a success in the American rabbinate, you must be able to talk baseball." Baseball, the epitome of American popular culture, was always a language that rabbis had to learn. And we must have learned it well, for baseball has been a passion for so many Jews throughout the decades. But the connection of Judaism and baseball goes beyond the fact that it is a ticket into American society. In so many ways, baseball presents the perfect midrash for Judaism. I base much of my thoughts on this subject on the writings of one of my heroes, past president of Yale University and commissioner of baseball, the late Bart Giamatti. Whenever I read Dr. Giamatti describing baseball, I thought he might very well be talking about Judaism. I told this to Dr. Giamatti in a letter I wrote to him, and he was truly interested and so very gracious. We exchanged more letters, and in a letter responding to my note of congratulations when he was named president of the National League, he added a handwritten sentence at the bottom of the typed letter, quote, "I shall treasure your encouragement. We clearly see things in the same way." I have rarely felt so honored. In his book, Take Time for Paradise, Dr. Giamatti wrote that baseball, quote, is based on the symmetry and order to which all human beings aspire. Our national plot is to be free enough to consent to an order that will enhance and compound as it constrains our freedom. The giving of the Torah immediately after the exodus from servitude in Egypt shows the enhancing and compounding effect that a willing consent to order can have on our lives. We count the Omer, the days between Pesach, the celebration of our freedom, and Shavuot, the commemoration of the receiving of the Torah, to express this connection and to celebrate the fact that we are free enough to allow ourselves to be guided by Jewish law and tradition. But observance of Jewish law is not a simple matter. And Dr. Giamatti helps us to understand two of the most elusive terms in Jewish thought regarding religious ritual. He writes about baseball structure, quote, "Symmetrical demands in a symmetrical setting encourage both passion and precision." Passion and precision. These are perfect definitions of two Hebrew words which so often are seen as opposites, but which really need to coexist. The words are kavana and keva. The passion of the inspiration to serve God and bring meaning to our lives, kavana, is balanced with the objective specifics of Jewish law, keva. The two must live side by side. As Abraham Joshua Heschel taught, quote, "Kavana is beautiful but has no outlet without the precision the law provides, and the keva of the law cannot sustain itself without passion." We do need precision to direct the passion, and we need passion to continue to find the need for precision. And that passion and precision is an ultimate goal. Dr. Giamatti believed that baseball represents the drive that we all have to leave home and to return, to travel away from our starting point and then to come back to it. He spoke of a runner going the long way around, longing to return home to the place where, quote, one first learned to be separate and remains in the mind as the place where reunion, if it were ever to occur, would happen. From the perspective of Jewish philosophy and mythology, this is as basic a statement as we can make about our lives. As human beings, we left the Garden of Eden to find our way through the world and bring ourselves and the world we live in back to the garden, complete and whole again. But it's not an easy journey. Like the batter rounding the bases, our ancestors took the long way around. God took us through the desert on a wandering path. Yes, this was as a result of our ancestors' sin of disloyalty, but it also had a purpose of its own, that we grow and experience the full measure of life so that our return would be more meaningful and more deeply appreciated. Just like the batter rounding the bases, we can only achieve our ultimate goal if we take a long way around, relishing the experiences and recognizing the possibility that even if we do not reach our final destination, we will know that we have tried. So as we seek the redemption of the world, we don't look for simple paths. We engage in the difficult questions, we take the difficult risks, and keep our heads up as we round the bases in our quest. I find it fascinating that the shape of the baseball field reflects that circular aspect of the game and of life. But there's another feature of the baseball field that intrigued Dr. Giamatti, and it intrigues me as well. The foul lines in the baseball diamond, according to Giamatti, quote, constrain the sudden eruptions of energy, end of quote, allowing creativity within certain acceptable limits. This creativity is demonstrated by baseball's continual uniqueness, as events that never happened before happen almost daily within the order and structure of the game and its constants. As Jews, our ritual tradition started at Mount Sinai, giving structure to our lives by placing limits. But these limits, like the space between the foul lines radiating from home plate, ever widen. They allow us to constantly find new areas in which to develop ourselves and use our creativity. And this creativity lets us respond with Torah to things that never happened before in our search to adapt to changing realities. The lines are there to guide us, but unlike the parallel sidelines on the football field, the space between the lines widens to inspire us with new worlds to conquer. The lines of Torah also serve to unify us as a people. If we find ourselves lost in the world, which can be as empty as the outfield in a ballpark, we can always get our bearings by turning home again to the point of the convergence of the lines, the point when we stood together at Mount Sinai and received the Torah. We are unified as a people not because we behave exactly alike, but because we trace the roots of our behavior to the same place and the same moment when we all stood and heard God's voice at Sinai to regain that unity. We can always turn again towards home. As baseball has played itself out over the decades, its sages have taught us so much about our journey through the world. Again, I thank Dr. Giamatti, Zichrono Livracha, may his memory be for a blessing, for teaching me so much in the words that he wrote. But I also consider baseball quotations, quotations from ballplayers, and managers, to be so inspirational. And let me share with you three of my favorites. And let's think about what they teach us about our faith and our people. I'll start with Ernie Banks, the great Chicago Cubs player and later announcer, who greeted beautiful days at Wrigley Field, hoping that with the weather so beautiful, there might be a doubleheader in order. He'd say, let's play two. And that's Judaism's call as well. Let's play two. Or three, or God willing, 1,000. Ritual, repetitive, constant ritual is the hallmark of Judaism. We don't wait for the Spirit to move us to say a prayer or perform a ritual action. We do it the other way around. We play two. We repeat our actions over and over, knowing that sometimes the action won't result in deep meaning. Just as, on occasion, frankly, there can be a boring baseball game. But despite the potential for boredom and sameness, one day, when we least suspect it, we'll see a fantastic catch or a come-from-behind victory, and we're so glad we stayed around to watch. Similarly, each day we put on tefillin or keep kosher. Each year we sit in the sukkah or at the Pesach Seder, and often they mean everything to us. Sometimes they may seem to be significantly less meaningful, but we keep coming back. We keep playing too. We keep believing in the power of ritual to provide us a moment of great meaning. Next, a quick word from the great philosopher Yogi Berra. Quote, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." We experience our Judaism in a world of opportunities that our ancestors never knew. Every type of Judaism one could imagine in every community, physical and virtual. No one has the excuse that they can't find a path for meaning in Judaism. There is something in it for everyone, if we seriously look for it. So when that fork in the road presents itself, find the right fork for you, even if it is the road less traveled. Find your path and take it. And finally, Jim Boughton, writing in the book Ball 4, observed, quote, "You spend your life gripping a baseball, and then you find out that it was the other way all along." I'll repeat that. You spend your life gripping a baseball, and then you find out that it was the other way all along. What a wonderful lesson in Judaism. It is our religious rituals that have kept us alive. They have protected us and have enriched our lives. They are holding on to us rather than the other way around. Without them, we would be lost. As Hebrew essayist Tachan Ha'am wrote, quote, "More than Israel has kept the Shabbat has kept Israel." The rituals, like the sights and sounds and smell of a ballpark, have a hold on us, and they just won't let go. So let us hold on to our traditions and continue our path the long way around. Let's have fun as well while we do it, for while life is not a game, it is meant to be treasured and celebrated. Let's take the field each day with energy and excitement, ready to play a full 9 innings each and every day. Until next time, thank you.